Hello and welcome back to another preseason preview of the Texas Private School Podcast. As always, I am joined by three hosts actually today. The first two, you know, Walker Lott and Ryan Schroeder, hailing from College Station and Oklahoma City, respectively. The fourth, you also know, but on a less frequent basis, Jack Klosek. Jack, welcome back. Anytime people see you in the frame, they get a good idea of what we're going to preview. But in case they don't, number one, how are you doing? Number two, what are we here to do today?
Hey guys, it is fantastic to be back. This is my third year as the lead SPC analyst. For those that don't know me, I'm an SPC alum, went to the Kincaid School and graduated in 2022. And I talk about all things SPC. Love my Falcons, but love giving credit to what is an underrated league in the state of Texas. And I think that this is going to be another great year. I think there are a lot of exciting prospects. I mean, I'm excited to be back with the coverage. I'm sometimes assisted by my good friend, Alex Lesuade, who will throughout the season provide us with insights on film breakdown and such. And we're excited to bring you some great content this year and some great previews and talk about what's going to make this 2024 season so special.
Absolutely. Jack always does great work previewing for us. You know, as we've said before, Walker, Ryan, and I are relatively busy, and we're already stretched pretty thin as a three-man crew as it is. Jack brings invaluable insight to the SBC. It also helps whenever you've got a personal connection and you enjoy going back to it. Jack, I've also got to get your opinions on this photo. I don't know if I've ever even – I'm sure you've seen this. I don't know if it's going to focus, but that is me with the 2022 that's after the St. John's game, I think. But, yeah. No, I think I've told the story before, but I was in that, they called me over and I didn't want to get in it, and I got in it, and then I get in it and they take the picture and Micah Bell goes, "Who let this dude in the picture?" And I immediately got the hell out of there. Like, I didn't want to outstay my welcome, but I've spoken too long. Walker Lott from College Station. How you doing, brother? Feel like we just spoke.
Oh, man, it's not like we've been on a call for an hour or anything. No, it's been good. You know, I'm finally moved in. The new digs, as you can see in the background, new environment, a little setup different. But yeah, it's good. Finally moved in, had my first day of classes today for grad school, and now we're here. So it's going good.
We love a scholar and a philosopher. Ryan Schroeder, speaking of scholars and philosophers, how are you doing? How's things up with the Thunder?
Yeah, this is my first day of school that I'm not going to school. So it definitely was a different change for me, at least. Instead, I spent 8 hours in a corporate office. So you can decide which one's better in your head.
You and me both, brother.
But that's okay. No, I genuinely, you know, it's been great. Good to get, you know, the division previews done. You know, we did Division I already, did Division II. Now going with SBC with Jack. I'm excited. Let's keep it rolling.
Absolutely. So, Jack, I say we get right into this. And guys, stop me if you think this is incorrect, but I think we start with the rankings and then go from there, unless y'all think we should flip it. But I think that's a good way to start.
I dig it.
We did it for D2, so it's definitely the right way around.
I agree. So, Jack, I'll let you do the honors of saying number one through six, and then we'll dig into the overview in each team and why they are where they are.
Absolutely. Well, let's get right into it. So leading off, we have number one ranked the Kincaid Falcons. Coming in second are the Episcopal Knights. In third, we have the St. John's Mavericks. In fourth, we have the Episcopal School of Dallas Eagles. And rounding it out, we have John Cooper at 5 and St. Mark's at 6. That's the Dragons and the Lions for any of who are asking.
I was about to say, while you were doing that, I was trying to go through and make sure I still knew all the mascots. I got to 6 and I completely forgot who St. Mark's were. So thank you. I don't think I ever even knew who they were. So thanks for detailing that. But Jack, I think what people are going to say straight off is that, you know, EHS is always amazing, even though they have faltered to Kincaid several times in the past with lesser talented teams. People might be hesitant to put Kincaid over EHS. However, us certified ball knowers, all, you know, we checked off on your assumption there, and we think it's valid. Why do you think it's valid to have Kincaid over EHS going into 24?
Absolutely. I think it starts with Kincaid's high-powered offense. David Capobianco has a ton of experience, and he's going to lead the way. He's thrown for, you know, a ton of yardage in several years, even in spite of a horrible injury that took him out of the 2022 campaign. As well as that, he has great targets to throw to. Caden Lawrence is an up-and-coming freshman who is a junior Olympian track athlete who should get a lot of reps. Jordan Manuel has several Division I offers, including from the service academies, and has been a reliable target. You also have the addition of the transfer, Wayne Shanks Jr., who will be a running back, will get a lot of touches, may also see some action out of the slot, and can also play outside linebacker. So there's some versatility there. He's got several offers, including, off the top of my head, University of Houston and UTSA. Kincaid also has a really strong offensive line this year, which has been something that's been somewhat of an Achilles heel for them. They pick up Sam Griggs as a transfer from St. John's. They also have Topher Carlson, who's a four-year letterman. I think what puts them over the edge over Episcopal is Episcopal didn't pick anybody up, to my knowledge, over this past school year. And they take a step back at the quarterback position with Carson Gordon's departure to UCLA and Tyler Blumgren's ascension. I think that they still have a ton of talented pieces. They have arguably the best player in the league in Brandon Thomas. But that being said, I think they are lacking in the receiving core, just as compared to Kincaid. But Logan Barty and Tate Oregon and Garen Sampson make up a solid receiving core of their own. So lacking may not be the right word, but I think that they're maybe second to Kincaid there. But they have a ton of talented pieces in Madden Morgan or Tyler Cesarski or Zach Capel and Brooks Edwards. So I think that it's going to be a tight 1-2 race. I think that both Kincaid and Episcopal are strong contenders, and we give the slight edge to Kincaid. But don't count out St. John's. Cole Allen is in the conversation for the best player in SBC. It's really him and Brandon Thomas right at the top. He just recently committed to Harvard, and he's going to be able to carry St. John's. Now, I believe St. John's now moves to Shea Quinn at quarterback. So, unfortunately, you know, he has tough shoes to fill with the departure of Stephen Gill to Trinity. ESD could also be a dark horse. Jake Jerky, was solid last year after transferring from Frisco Memorial. And Hutch Chipman's going to go to Yale to play tight end. And then really after that, it's kind of a noticeable step down. John Cooper still has Dean Calhoun, who's a great running back. They also have Colton Roden, who's a good player, and they should be able, David Esquivel at O line. They should be able to make up some ground, but it's going to be tough. They're moving up to 4A this year. They've played against lesser competition. They don't have a super tough non conference, so it's going to take a little bit of getting used to. And then Coach DeHaven is the right man to lead that program there, and I think that he'll do a nice job. And then, you know, St. Mark's has really, really struggled. They haven't won a conference game since 2021. You know, they haven't beaten Kincaid since 2008. They haven't beaten Episcopal in over a decade as well. That's a tough job. But Coach Flaherty has done a nice job getting them around 500. They've played some competitive games, in non-conference and picked up some nice wins. Henry Estes leads that program over there, the recent Columbia commit, which is where I attend school. So I'm excited to get him up to Columbia. I work with the football team as well there, so should be able to welcome him in. I think that he'll lead the way, but you know, football's a team sport and it's tough to win with just one player like that. I really do wish that Henry could have gotten to see Henry maybe in a more powerful program there. But, you know, I respect the loyalty, and he earned himself an awesome opportunity at Columbia. But that's kind of where we see that. But I'm looking forward to discussing with the rest of the guys. But I do think that Kincaid has a slight edge right now, and I'm excited to see how some of these new pieces and fresh faces across Kincaid do. And I'm also excited to see how Coach Moynihan over at Episcopal, taking over for the legend Steve Leese, does. He hired Coach Jeremy Eddington from John Cooper's, the offensive coordinator. It's going to be a lot of spread stuff there, and it'll be interesting to see his new system taking over for Dan Casey. I think that there's the Kincaid Episcopal game is one you absolutely have to circle. But I also think the St. John's Episcopal game has provided some fireworks over the last 3 years, so keep an eye out for that one as well.
It's a good point.
I will say it will provide fireworks. So another thing I always say if St. John's is ever involved, the first thing is, I can't believe Cole Allen's still in high school, because I feel like we've been saying his name for 5 years, because he's been such a dynamic playmaker since we started cover, or since he came into the sport in what, that was 2021. Every time they play, he makes plays. But what I also was going to say is that you mentioned Cole Allen and Brandon Thomas being probably the two front runners for SBC Player of the Year, at least in 4A. I watch Wayne Shank's film, and after watching that, if you don't like consider he could be in that running, I might call you crazy. I mean, he is, as a freshman, dude, he is making plays. I think just the growth he's going to have from freshman to sophomore, and also being under a guy like Larned and that scheme and the coaching he's going to get from Kincaid. I mean, I think this dude is, he could have bell brother impact. I know Ryan knows firsthand how good both bell brothers were. I really do think that he could be this good. I'm curious to see your thoughts on that.
Absolutely. I think Wayne, you know, he's earned some incredible offers, Big 12 offers, you know, before even his sophomore season. I love Kincaid picking him up from Cypress Woods. Cypress Woods, solid program, got a lot of touches as a freshman. And Wes, you're absolutely right. He's going to get a lot of opportunity at Kincaid. He's going to be coached very, very well, you know, under Coach Lucas Peters' system. Coach Larned's going to make sure that, you know, in that Wildcat package, I imagine he's going to get a lot of the touches. And, you know, those are big shoes to fill. Think about it. You have Dylan Bell did that, Josh Williams, Micah Bell, Miles Rader, Victor Garza, the guys who kind of run their Wildcat package, which I would imagine will be a big part of their offense, even with the passing attack. I think that's going to be huge. I think, you know, Wayne's ability to move in space is fantastic. And also, you know, you may see him, I'd imagine, out of the slot. You may see him kind of as that true athlete. But I think he's going to get the majority of the action at running back. And, you know, what a blessing for us as commentators and contributors and analysts to be able to see Wayne Shanks, as well as Cole and Brandon, absolutely cut guys up. And, you know, Wayne will also get a chance to, you know, take some of that playing against, going a good Cypress, you know, Cypress ISD 6A conference. He's played against tougher competition than he will face this year, just kind of objectively speaking. But that being said, he's also going to get great exposure to Kincaid's gauntlet of a non-conference schedule, starting with Gunter and then rounding out with Regents and St. Thomas, Second Baptist, Rockport, Fulton. I think he's going to be a star, and I do think he's absolutely in that conversation. We're going to have a tough time picking the SBC MVP and Offensive Player of the Year this year. We have a lot of fine candidates, and it really speaks to, you know, the quality that this conference has. And, you know, there's a reason that major FBS programs are looking at these guys, why Brandon Thomas has so many offers, why Cole Allen's going to Harvard, which is, you know, reigning Ivy League champions, and why Wayne Shanks has, you know, tremendous offers like the University of Houston before he even sets foot at Kincaid.
Yeah, and before I pass it off to Ryan and Walker to just add some more commentary or questions, I will say that it's cool that we have these level of athletes, because traditionally, obviously, the SPC, it's a Southwestern preparatory conference. People think of it for incredibly high academics, sending kids to Ivy level programs. Football is sometimes an afterthought when people consider SBC as a whole. In the last few years, it's not really that anymore. It's obviously still just as good, if not better, at preparing kids to go to college. But I mean, the guys that EHS, Kincaid, ESD, all of them have sent out, I mean, you are packing kids in collegiate programs that come from SBC. It's really cool to watch the investment that has gone into these athletic programs and the payoff that it's had overall. I mean, it's super. And plus, like you said, for us as commentators, it's just the cherry on top, dude. It's awesome to be able to watch them compete. Walker, I know we've spoken at length about 4A and kind of where things fall and what we're looking at. Any overarching thoughts from where we are right now?
Yeah, it's a lot of different eras for a lot of teams, you know. Bel Air Episcopal, for the first time since when we were all young, Steve Lees is not at the helm, and that's going to be a whole new Episcopal culture. You know, I believe it's Monahan has been there for the past couple of years, so it's not like it's going to be a whole new shift, but it's still, it's one of the greatest to ever do it in the private school ranks, is now retired and going to go do a different, still with the school, but not there. He's not the day-to-day guy anymore. And so it's going to be interesting to see how that kind of changes. Is their offensive scheme going to be a little bit different? Defensive scheme? It's going to be interesting to see, you know, like you said, Jack, you know, Dan Casey's not at the OC anymore. So how different is that? Are they going to rely more on the run with Brandon Thomas? Are they going to rely with Logan Barty and Gavin Sampson? Like, they have some weapons out there, and it's going to be interesting to see how they use them. But, you know, different era, St. John's, you know, they don't have, goodness gracious, I've said his
David
name.
David Gill.
Yeah, I've said his name 30 times last year, but yeah, Stephen Gill and, you know, ESD. And I'm excited because there's also a lot of transfers. You talked about Wayne Shanks. Episcopal, for the first time in a while, doesn't really get one, but St. John's, not one either. But ESD is a guy that I'm intrigued about, is this new kid that, shout out to the guy for putting this on. He's an incoming freshman with Division I offers from Washington State. His name, I'm not going to be able to pronounce it because I think he's from the Euless Trinity pipeline. And if you know anything about it, it's like Fine Vahali. Like, it's very interesting to see how that guy plays, because that's like a couple of Division I guys on that ESD roster with him and Hutch Chipman and others. ESD could be a sneaky team to cause some chaos. Same with St. John's. I mean, the guy that we really haven't talked about, Malachi Booker, the defensive end, the 2027, is a guy who has Division I offers on the basketball court, and he's still playing football. And most basketball guys, Ryan, you can attest to this, they like to just play their sport. They don't really move around a lot. But having a guy like him that he's going to play multiple sports, it's going to be interesting to watch, and that's going to help him grow. But, yeah, man, the SBC 4A is always loaded with talent, and it's loaded again this year. I agree. I think Kincaid deserves to be the favorite going into this year. I think Capo, having the guys from last year who made state, Capo, Jordan Emanuel, Carlson, all these guys, and then you add Shanks and other guys, that's going to be a big deal for them. And then I just think that's smart. And then, like, Episcopal, new culture, new head coach, and you lose arguably one of the better players in Episcopal's history in Carson Gordon, who's going to UCLA, guys. It's not like it's a bad school at all. So no matter who it is afterwards, and I think Blomgren is a good quarterback, it's just you're losing a UCLA commit and signee. Like, that's hard to replace, especially in that state game where he did everything on that offense with him and Brandon Thomas. Like, without one piece of that puzzle, it's gonna be hard to change. So I think Kincaid deserves to be the number one spot right now, but I think there's a lot of chaos that can ensue during the season. And always SBC 4A always causes chaos during the season. It's always fun.
I'm glad you said that, because I think we said that verbatim at least 20 times in this podcast. And inevitably, like, week four, St. John's is going to beat Kincaid, and we're going to be like, we don't know anything, the district's on fire, and then Kincaid will end up winning state. We're like, oh, it all worked itself out in the end, which it almost always does. But I will say, to the Carson Gordon point, just because I can't ever let him be mentioned without saying this, probably for as high of a caliber athlete as he was, never have I met a nicer person and a more respectful person. He did not have to mess with us at all, and he was always the nicest person whenever we met. He's a fantastic kid. I hope he kills it at UCLA. That being said, last thing before I turn it to Ryan and we start to close out 4A, I think, because we're talking so highly about Kincaid and maybe talking about EEHS taking a step back, you know, developing a culture and bringing kids up through the program is incredibly important. It always will be, probably the most important thing. But recruiting and transfers, even as a supplemental tool, it shows you how important it's been, because Kincaid, the reason they've taken an extra step forward is some of the guys they brought in, like Shanks, we've talked ad nauseum about, comes in. A couple other guys come in. EHS doesn't get a lot of the guys they have leaned on, they bring in from the surrounding area. It just, we've talked a lot about the TAPS, the SBC transfer portal. It just shows you how relevant it is, where it's shaping our preseason expectations, and it might shape our outlook on the season, how the season actually goes. Jack, I'm curious on your opinion regarding that.
Yeah, I think it's huge. And, you know, it's also, look at the teams that lost guys. St. John's losing Sam Griggs is huge for their team. And, you know, as a former Falcon, I'm excited about that. At the same time, there was a player from ESD, and I'm blanking on his name. Can y'all help me out? Who went to Parrish, who was a big part of their team. Nick Wheeler. So it goes in both directions. You know, Episcopal's, you know, picked up Tyler Sosarski. They picked up Brandon Thomas from Lamar, Carson Gordon from Ridgepoint. They had a kid that they picked up from Manville. What was his name?
Andre,
he was there for like a year.
Andre Thompson.
Yes. You know, it kind of goes with the
edge. They don't win that state game without Brandon Thomas and Tyler Sosarski last year. They don't.
Absolutely. And, you know, kind of the ebbs and flows of SBC football over the past 15 years is, you know, who has been able to blend that high academic prowess with enticing players. St. John starts to do it a little bit more, Malachi Booker, but it, and then you'd also have to mesh that with homegrown guys like Cole Allen. Kincaid, in the early 2010s had a ton of good players. Schools, ESD, Kincaid, there are ebbs and flows of which players you're able to entice and to pick up. It's less so, maybe recruiting isn't the right word, and that's kind of like, the taboo word or whatever. So, but it's also, which guys you can pick up. Some guys want to go to private school for, to play against competition that allows them to excel more. They want more playing time, whatever. But, mesh, I think that the schools that have had the most success are able to mesh that with homegrown talent. ESD had a stretch where they did that. You had guys like Teddy Sparrow playing with Chase Kennedy. Kincaid did that, for a number of years. You had, Josh Williams playing with Zach Daniel, who was playing with, a homegrown guy like Wyatt Young or Carlos Abello, or, later, with the Bell brothers playing with, Alex Gottsagen or somebody like that. Being able to blend that, or even, Dean Calhoun going over to John Cooper, with a homegrown guy like Vaughn McKeever. All it takes is being able, it's a fine line to kind of blend that. And I think it's great. It's great. Most of all, these kids are getting awesome educations. You can't say enough about somebody like Brandon Thomas being able to go from Lamar, which is an IB public school, and has a good track record. Many successful people have been there, but to be able to go to Episcopal, which is a premier, school in Houston, it's fantastic. Or, Dylan, the Bell brothers, really took advantage of, academics at Kincaid. Micah Bell was offered by Harvard. He's going to Vanderbilt now. Cam Henry going to Harvard. It's awesome because those are life-changing decisions. That's what the SPC does. Dean Calhoun going from Grand Oaks, which again, great public school out in Conroe, but those private schools and institutions, and it goes for, schools in TAPS as well. I think that, when parents are able to choose their children's education, I think that a lot of these private schools have fantastic track records. And I think it really speaks to, how you're able to blend success in athletics with preparing you for success in life. And, you see oftentimes a lot of these private schools send kids to fantastic schools.
Jack, I was going to touch on this point. We actually discussed this I think a return episode back for the year. When me and Walker went to TAPSCon, Coach Novikoff basically went on this rant about how, you have college coaches, and I'll say it again if you haven't heard it and stuff. You have college coaches in different schools coming on campus, whether it be Ivy Leagues, whether it be, Vanderbilts, whether it even be University of Georgia, which is now one of the hardest schools in the country to get into. Like, there, it's stuff like this now where, like, you have these big schools on your campus coming for sports, when in reality, like, Harvard was on Parrish's, campus is what the analogy he made. And Harvard's not coming just to get kids, to go to school there. Harvard's coming to get the football athletes that are at Parrish, right? So he said taking advantage of that, and like you said, in the athletic space is really valuable and can really help a school in a variety of ways. So I truly can back up everything you're saying from one of the best coaches in, private school saying exactly that.
And that's super well said. And Coach Novikov is a great example. He went to St. Mark's, was a fantastic player at St. Mark's, which is arguably one of the best academic schools in the state for boys. And then he went to Notre Dame, which is a tremendous school. Right. And he's living that as well. And it's great. You're getting the maximum return on investment, and kids are getting tremendous opportunities. And it's an investment in football, but it's an investment in life. And, these programs are raising great, future great husbands, fathers, brothers, sons, uncles, and American citizens. And at the end of the day, that's what these programs are about. And I applaud the men who, are leading these programs.
We might have to wrap there. That's probably the most well-worded thing that has ever been spoken on this podcast, but that's completely true. Private school in some respects produces kids that go to amazing schools, and then sometimes they produce two dumb Aggies that go to A&M so it's a 50-50. It works both ways. No, I would die for the school and College Station. That being said, I think that's a good place to wrap SBC 4A. As mentioned, we've got Kincaid followed by EHS, St. John's, ESD, John Cooper, St. Mark's. And honestly, that could be turned on its head by midseason, and I wouldn't be surprised because 4A is probably the most fun district we cover in terms of insanity. So moving on to what naturally follows is the only other division in SBC, SBC 3A, where probably had the biggest offseason shakeup out of any school we covered in terms of the transfer portal, which we just mentioned, whereas Gavin Parkhurst and Jacob Baynor, the two best players in on Trinity Valley and two of the best players in 3A overall, left and went to Fort Worth All Saints, which shakes our rankings up a little bit, not by a lot. And Jack, let's just get right into where we have these teams situated moving into the season.
Absolutely. So leading off our SPC 3A rankings, we have Houston Christian, then goes to Trinity Valley, then to Fort Worth Country Day, then to Cistercian, then to Greenhill, then to Oak Ridge, and then to a new member of SBC 3A, St. Andrews.
So, interesting as always, we'll touch on St. Andrews a little more later down the line. But, Jack, I'll just tell you what my thoughts are on the rankings, and you can add in with your commentary, correct me if I'm incorrect. But, in my eyes, this is a two-team race for first, and all the other teams are scratching and clawing, but the distance is just too great in between, I think, Trinity Valley and Country Day for us to even really consider any of the other teams to even make a run at the title. What do you think?
I think that's a very fair assessment. You know, we talked about transfers earlier, and Trinity Valley losing Jacob Maynard and Gavin Parkhurst hurts a ton. They're going to, in, you know, a powerhouse in All Saints under Coach Beck, and I think that they're going to have a ton of success there, and I wish them all the best. You know, ultimately as a player, you know, sometimes you have to do what you feel is right for you and your family. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a huge blow to Trinity Valley, though. And I think it hampers their ability to repeat. I think that this is Houston Christian's race to lose. I think that what Coach Eisenman has done there has been fantastic. It's a program that has completely been turned around, a program that had to move down to 3A for size reasons, a program that wasn't winning in SBC 4, a program that, you know, just had a varsity. They've done amazing things there. They've been able to attract a lot of great players. I think Anderson Jones is going to lead the way, you know, with Houston Christian's passing attack, running the run and shoot. And then I think on distance, Amiri Barnes and Sam Sidi Baca, defensive back, will do a ton of great work. I think that it's what they've done there is, you know, they call it, I think that their motto is revival, and they've certainly revived that program. Fort Worth Country Day with Coach Burns always is a, you know, solid 500 team. I think that there should be no different from there. And then I think after that, there's a lot of parity between Cistercian, Oak Ridge, and Greenhill. Shout out to Coach KJ. I think that, you know, they've gotten a lot of investment in their program. I think they've picked up some good kids. They have a kicker whose name I'm blanking on, who's committed to Yale. So I apologize for not remembering your name. I think we'll figure that out on the stream, though. I think that, you know, that could be a team that could play spoiler. And then you have St. Andrews, led by Coach Cantrell, who actually played for Coach Larned back in his college coaching days. St. Andrews, just as a quick history lesson, used to play in SBC 3A along with St. Stephen's. Unfortunately, due to poor performance and issues with, you know, numbers, St. Stephen's and St. Andrews merged in the late 2010s, around 2018 and 2019. And then post-COVID, St. Stephen's has decided to play in the six-man league, so they no longer play SBC football. But St. Andrews, with Coach Cantrell's help, has had to restart their program from scratch. They played a JV schedule. When I was a senior at Kincaid in 2021, our JV played St. Andrews, as did Episcopal's JV. They've had to play an independent schedule. They were a freelance team. And this year, for the first time, they moved during SBC realignment, they moved back into 3A. I think it's a great story. It's a feel-good story. You know, I know that their group of ones, I think that Coach Cantrell feels pretty solid about them. And I hope that they, you know, can scratch and claw their way to a win, because that would be really special for a program that, you know, hasn't played varsity football, affiliated varsity football in, you know, 6, 7, 8 years competitively. I think it's something that all of us can root for and get behind. But at the same time, we have no idea what it looks like, and there will be a lot of growing pains there, just like there have been growing pains at Green Hill, and Oak Ridge and Cistercian. You know, but you hope that one of those teams can eventually break out and get a little bit more competitive in that league.
Yeah, hey, no, I agree. Go on.
They booked a 4A team for their first game of the year. That sounds like a
yes, they did. I mean, I respect it.
I'm looking at it right now, and yeah, it's. I mean, yeah, going to Northeast Early College. I looked at who they're playing, and they're playing Austin LBJ, and I was like, oh my gosh, I was like, what affiliation are they? UIL 4A team off the rip. Back to SBC, that's impressive for sure. We'll have to evaluate from there for sure.
But yeah, no, I completely agree. I think you put it well. We would love nothing more to see St. Andrews come out and win one or two district games, which might be tough. But honestly, in the cellar of 3A, you know, maybe they could against kind of that list of Cistercian, Green Hill, Oak Ridge. Again, no disrespect to them. I probably shouldn't call it the cellar. It's just that TVS and Houston Christian are just so much far ahead in my mind, and I could be wrong. I've been wrong on this program many times before, as we've mentioned, but it'll be interesting. But in terms of, I think people might be surprised to see we've got Green Hill ranked as highly. You know, we got them ranked fifth when they struggled pretty mightily, only beating Oak Ridge in conference last year. I mean, it's partially, I like Green Hill a lot. I like Will Black, the quarterback they've got. I think he can make plays and he'll take a big step forward in his senior season. I like Coach KJ even more. You know, I think he did a good job of taking over in that, and he got put in a really bad spot at Nolan. I mean, there's not much worse spots you can get put into, but just speaking to him as a man, as a person, he's somebody that I would want leading my program. And if you haven't checked, Green Hill's serious about athletics. They're investing in a multi-million dollar athletic facility. Mm-hmm. They've got like and this is just me being a personal trainer junkie, but they've got like a weight room that like opens up out to the field so it can be outdoor. It's the sickest thing I've ever seen. All that to say is the weight room and stuff's not the point. It's the point that they're serious about this and they're making investments into a program, whether that's infrastructure, a coach like KJ Williams coming in. I really, again, this isn't, the projection isn't based on their past performance. It's where I think they're going. And I'm kind of grasping at straws here, but really after TVS and Houston Christian, that's really all you can do. I will be interested to see who Houston Christian puts at quarterback, because Walker, you might know that answer. You might not. That's something that I don't know, because Kilchrist was such an integral part of their offense. I honestly could say he was their offense. Like if a play broke down, it really didn't matter. Because he made it happen. The best way I can put it is people that are familiar with Hunter McCoy, who has had one of the best statistical seasons we've ever seen in Texas high school football last year. He plays almost exactly like him, and that's going to be a big loss. You know, they bring back, let me pull it up here. They bring back Anderson Jones and Bennett Malloroy and in those weapons in the receiving core, but it's going to be tough. Walker Lott, who are they putting at quarterback?
I don't know the answer from the top of my head. But I know there was a guy on social media that came up on our feed. Like, he was a 2028, so he was a freshman. I think he is going to Houston Christian. That might be the answer. I know anything else? Absolutely not, to be honest. But I want to talk about two guys of that team. They're, you know, Amiri Barnes transfers out and all this, and so you're kind of left of, like, what are you going to do? Anderson Jones is probably one of the most underrated wide receivers in all of TXPS. That kid can go. He's a great player, and I think he's going to be a big weapon for them. The even better weapon, in my opinion, I think is going to be Kate Gulledge. This kid is insane, and he's going to put a lot of people on notice this year, especially he's a 4.41 laser as a was a rising junior. That's fast.
I think that's fast.
I think that's really fast. And if you look at his film, it's very, very impressive. And I think he's going to be a guy that we need to watch this year. And I think he might be the MVP of this team, especially when you don't know who you're going to have at quarterback and you lose Brett Kilchrist. And, you know, that was kind of always the thing at Houston Christian was, oh, I don't really know who we're going to have at quarterback. It kind of lived and died of their team by the quarterback. And Brett brought in this kind of solidarity to that team. And, you know, that's how they got so far. Having Cade back there where he can be out there and he can run screens. He can go into the flat and catch balls out of the backfield. But him being able to run the ball with that speed, I think is going to have a different tone. And I think the combination of him and Anderson Jones, I think is kind of the thing that pushes this team to the next level and kind of why we have him there. If you want to go watch good film, go watch Kate Gulledge's film. It's very, very impressive. I remember watching it recently. And then when we did the awards for SPC, that was a good watch.
It's funny you should say that because I have it pulled up right now and I completely forgot the first play of this is just a simple inside zone that they ran. I can see myself standing on the sidelines. They ran this at the SBC championships last year in 2023. And I now remember this play like a light bulb. And I remember thinking, I don't know a lot about that kid, but he's really dadgum fast. And the fact that they bring him back, and especially the point you brought up, is there might be a question in the quarterback position. To have a guy like that you can lean on if you're a little shaky on, you know, I don't know if he can make XYZ throw, hand it to Cade, let Cade run 80 yards. That sounds like a pretty good game plan to me. All that to say is we've talked about leadership as well with Greenhill, with Houston Christian especially. One of my favorite things to do is kind of like to stand back at a distance and watch coaches address their teams after whether it be a win or a loss. I watched Houston Christian beat TVS in the regular season, and I watched them lose to them in the postseason. And what impressed me most in both games was how Coach Eisenbeck addressed his team after both the win and the loss. As counterintuitive as this sounds, it's less about football and more about developing people. And I think that in itself contributes directly to how successful you are in the football field. I'm high on him. I'm really high on Coach Pirtle, who is the former head coach at Second Baptist, Brookhill before that, now the AD at Houston Christian. All that to say is this solidifies even more them in my top spot. I think TVS will be very good. I think Country Day will be solid. I think Houston Christian will be great. Does anyone have a reason to think that's incorrect?
No,
I do not.
We love Ben Negushu. And, you know, TVS might stand a chance. I think that's what you're asking, by the way. I think Ben Negushu is going to be a big-time player, and I think Chris Houston is going to take a massive step forward this year. I think he's a big-time player, and they have other dudes. But I really think this is Houston Christian's to lose this year. They don't lose much from last year. They lose a couple pieces, but I think they keep a lot of talent. And especially with Gavin Parkhurst and Jacob Maynard gone, SBC 3A is kind of theirs for the taking. But a Fort Worth Country Day in Trinity Valley could cause some chaos. And the battle of Brian Irvin might be later that year, might be for that second spot in that title game. And you never know with that game. You truly never know.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. We talked a lot about the first two teams. Jack, is speaking of the Battle of Brian Irvin, do you think, is there anything that you would like to look at when Trinity Valley and Country Day face off for what will be presumably a fight for the spot in that SPC 3A championship?
Yes, weird things happen in rivalry games. We've seen much more talented Trinity Valley teams lose to Country Day in that game. That's a super, super fun game, you know, very reminiscent of the Kincaid St. John game or Kincaid Episcopal. I think that it probably will determine who plays Houston Christian. I think they do a color rush for it. It's a really cool event, very involved in both schools. I think that, you know, Luke Mitchell, Connor Davidson, Jackson Blumadale, they have a, you know, Country Day has Chapel Carter and Joseph Bronson in the offensive line. Coach Burns has been there for a long time. He's won SPC titles there. I think if, you know, there's anybody that's going to play spoiler, it would be Country Day. So I think that that's a one that we absolutely have to circle. I know that one of you three will be there and I'll be watching from afar, but that will be a fun one. And I think it coincides the last game of the season, just like Kincaid versus St. John's. And I think, you know, when we say, you know, it's Houston Christian's to lose, I also think that this would be Houston Christian's first championship in football across their stint in TAPS and in SPC. So they're, you know, they're playing with house money, but, you know, they have a chance to do something really, really special. We saw John Cooper win their first title in program history 3 years ago. And I think it'd be really cool for Houston Christian to get theirs, especially what they've had to overcome as a program.
Absolutely. Walker Lot, you look like a man with something to say.
Yeah, one guy I really wanted to mention about Houston Christian is incoming transfer from Iowa Colony, which, parentheses, if you know anything about Iowa Colony, it's a program that started up in, like, the Pearland area down there. In Iowa
Arcola.
Colony. Yeah, and so it's a very interesting team where they played a lot of private schools because no one in UIL really wanted to play them because they were just brand new. But Gregory Goodry, he's a transfer over there from Iowa Colony. He's going to be a guy who's going to play the steward role. What's the DB from there last year?
The nickel?
No, like the corner for Houston Christian, number Stewart.
Oh, the one with
Jordan,
the Air Force.
Yes, Jordan yeah. Ellie Stewart.
Jordan Ellie Stewart, yep.
Right. He's going to play that kind of role for them where he's going to be a versatile weapon, but he's a track guy. 49 in the 400, 22 in the 200, brings pure speed and was on a really good Iowa Colony track team last year. He transfers over and he's going to bring that kind of versatility that Stewart brought. That's another weapon for them that really kind of sets them over the top for me and kind of Houston Christian, multiple weapons. It's going to lead for good things.
And I will say really quickly, you shouldn't have brought up the 400 without expecting me to interject somewhere.
Of course.
That 49 and the 400, that doesn't just tell me speed, it tells me guts. Any kid that's willing to get out there and run 400 meters knows, outside of maybe the 800 and the 300 hurdles, is the hardest race you'll ever do. And to run that fast and to do it willingly means that kid has guts. I respect that. Ryan Schroeder, we talked ad nauseum about SBC 3A. You are yourself an SBC ball knower. You've seen a lot of SBC football, a lot of Kincaid as well. Anything overarching from anything that we've discussed?
It is really funny. I honestly think I saw prime SBC. You know, you talked about John Cooper's first title. I saw that the same day I saw Kincaid with both Bell Brothers versus an undefeated ESD team that was playing, in Dallas and stuff like that at, wherever. It was incredible to see. I mean, it was the game that Dylan passed. He passed, ran and caught
a
for a touchdown. Yep, in that state championship game, along with everything else. I was just going to bring up the fact, a couple of different things. Obviously, you talk about, like John Cooper, Houston Christian could be one of those teams. You go to the point where you're like 3 points away last season, from what could have been, right? In two overtime game, you really start to think about where that could lead you to in what you want to accomplish this year. Cause 3 points away is definitely something, they've had on their minds all off season. But yeah, everything else though about that also points me to believe Houston Christian is the favorite because like we talked about in the D2 episode, the people that love to transfer in that Fort Worth area, they love to go from the Pop to Fort Worth school, whether that be Country Day kids going to All Saints, whether that be TVS kids going to All Saints, whether that be, kids going to Southwest Christian, whether that be even inside of the Taps realm, whether that be Lake Country kids going to Fort Worth All Saints and the Daughter Brothers and stuff. That is really how it has been for a while. But I did write this down when Wes was talking about Green Hill. Not to get too deep into the Green Hill luxury, but when we played a soccer game there my sophomore year, there was heated stairs that we sat on waiting for our game, for the girls' game to finish. So I'm just going to give you perspective. This would have been winter of 2017, 2018, something like that. And yeah, they would have had it. And by the way, it's the winter because apparently soccer is played in Taps for some reason. That's always going to blow my mind. But yeah, we heated stairs is what we sat on waiting for our match. But that's neither here nor there. I just thought that was funny with all the Green Hill money that comes that way and has been coming that way for
years.
Six years. Oh my gosh.
Grace had turf that gave us staff, so I think we got you. I think we got you beat there. But
Real.
Hey, Grace is making some investments. We finally put in visitor stands after 25 years. But that being said, Jack, any closing comments or any guys that you like that we haven't mentioned regarding SBC 3A? Because I know there's a vast amount of teams and so little time to cover them all.
I think that first of all, I want to give a shout out to. We talked about track just recently. Got to give a shout out to the track head coach, a former coach of mine, Coach CJ Brown. Coach CJ was, defensive analyst, assistant linebackers coach at Kincaid for years, was an assistant track coach, coached the Bell Brothers, coached Cam Henry. He got the head coaching job at Houston Christian a couple years back, and he's done a great job there developing their football talent. He coached Jordan Ellie Stewart. Sam CD Bacchus, that's another name we talked about at a defensive back. He runs for him. I know that I think that he had a lot to do with the transfer of what was his name from Iowa Colony?
Gregory.
Yep. And I think that he's done, they work really, really close hand in hand to help develop those guys on the track field. I know Kincaid, Coach Larned had really wanted guys to, you know, unless you were a really good baseball or lacrosse player, he wanted you in track. And I think that that's something that's really going to help Houston Christian, especially because, you know, they run such a good passing attack, you know, with that run and shoot offense. I think that that's important as well. I think Paul Hill over at linebacker, that's another guy we didn't touch on, who, you know, has been mentioned in some write-ups. I think that you know, guy could be a big thing in defense. Cade Goolidge also, we talked about him as a running back, but, you know, he also can turn around and play defensive back, gives good versatility there. I think that this is going to be a special year for Houston Christian. I have circled on my calendar, Houston Christian plays St. John's week 2. Houston Christian in really good shape. St. John's also in good shape. Coach Veltri has done an amazing job with that program, as has Coach McKay, two former coaches of mine. But St. John's will take a step back. You know, they've had some really talented teams, 2021, 22, 23. But they're a little bit down from there. I think just, you know, we can be objective about that. I am curious to see how Houston Christian plays in that. That's going to be a great litmus test. And then the next week they have St. Pius. Now, Pius completely overhauled their program. I'm sure you guys talked about that in D1. They just got a bunch of guys from Heights, which is formerly known as Reagan. That's a 6A school in Lamar and Houston Lamar's conference. I think that those are two non-conference games that are going to say a lot. I expect them to go out and blitz Lutheran South. But week 2, we're going to get to see what they're made of. I could see them making that real interesting against St. John's. St. John's, you know, has been able to lay the hammer on them and just kind of, you know, kind of blow their doors off the last 2 years. But this year, I expect to be a closer game. I still think Trinity Valley with Ben Nagishu is going to, you know, put up a great fight, and Country Day, you know, can play spoiler. And then, you know, outside of that, you just kind of hope that some of those programs towards the bottom, like Green Hill with a Coach KJ, are going to take those noticeable steps forward and help make that league a little more competitive. And, you know, we talked about St. Andrews, you know, but that goes for Cistercian and Oak Ridge. We love to see more competitiveness. And, you know, it's tough with those programs with, you know, how few kids, you know, are in the program. It's tough for them. So we hope that, you know, we're a little bit wrong on that, and there's a little bit more parity throughout the whole way. But I'm excited to see how the Mustangs do, and, you know, I expect them to get their first title this year.
I agree. It'll be super interesting. And I think there might be, you know, some parity, I guess, in the bottom between Cistercian, Green Hill, Oak Ridge, and St. Andrews. We can see some of those teams, you know, kind of duke it out. I just think that it'll be hard to see one of them rise and challenge. I think this is a two-horse race, and quite frankly, it would be surprising to me not to see any team not named Houston Christian come out win the SBC 3A title. But hey, that's why we play the game. The champions aren't decided in August. They are in October and November. So it'll be fun to keep an eye on. Maybe not quite as much insanity as there is in 4A, but hopefully there's a little bit, because that makes our job fun. But that being said, I really can't believe it, but we've gotten through the entirety of the SBC in relatively decent time. We've been struggling lately to get through episodes in under like 2 hours, but we did a really efficient job here. Wouldn't be possible without Jack Klosek, a wealth of SBC knowledge. Jack, I think we snagged you up like almost two or three years ago now, and you have been invaluable since. You were a valued contributor to not only the episodes we do, but our spaces on Friday nights where you come in and kind of gather all the SBC knowledge and shoot it out. We're really thankful for what you do, and thanks for coming on. Any closing comments regarding football or anything of that nature?
Absolutely. First of all, thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to do this. It's great to give back to the SBC. Winning, you know, an SBC title, you know, was, you know, tremendous memories that I got to make with my brothers over at Kincaid. And I love getting to share my craft and getting to help you guys out. Look for, you know, our original content here. I'm going to be doing some more previews this year before games on Friday. Ryan's done a tremendous job with over on our TXPS website, and he does a great job with the photos, as do Wes and Walker. So guys, please go and subscribe over there. It's well worth your while to support, you know, kind of independent journalism. Dude, like this.
It is funny. I was actually literally wrote this down as one of my joke remarks at the end of all this. Quite literally, it is funny that the SBC website, which, by the way, if anyone has any sort of connection to the Learfield, you know, whatever, Sidearm Sports, who makes the website stuff. I love the SBC website. That's by far my favorite website out of all the websites. It literally is just so intuitive. But that's funny you said that about the website. I think the SBC website is incredible. So,
yeah.
Praise to the SBC for their online content.
100%. And, you know, grateful to you guys. You know, this came about by me helping you out with figuring out how SBC playoffs work, which we're gonna have to explore that one again.
It's,
you know,
gonna have to happen. Yeah.
And just as an aside there, you know, SBC used to do two rounds of playoffs.
Yeah.
I think that especially in a year like last year where St. John's loses one conference game, it doesn't get to play for the playoffs. I think that that's wrong. And, you know, I'll say this, I'm calling on the SBC to, you know, as an alum, to find a better way to make playoffs work. I don't know what that looks like, but you want to give me a call, I'm happy to put my head together. But I think that that's something that SPC can look towards. You know, I think, and the Ivy League, you know, some people say it's the Ivy League of, you know, of Texas or whatever. I think Coach Dan, I want to give credit. I think Coach Casey said that in a YouTube video. You know, the Ivy League doesn't do a good job of that either. They don't let their schools play for FBS playoffs. And, you know, like last year, they had a three-way tie between Dartmouth, Princeton, and Harvard for the championship. So that's one thing that I could say that can do better. But at the end of the day, 4A, we got three tremendous athletes, Brandon Thomas, Cole Allen, Wayne Shanks Jr. You guys got to be tuning in on Friday nights to see that. Parish Episcopal, you know, Parish Episcopal, West Orange Stark, you know, Kincaid Gunter, Kincaid Regents, St. John's Calhoun playing a team that runs, you know, the Veer out of Port Lavaca.
Mention ESD playing IMG Varsity, not their national, but the IMG Varsity first game, ESD.
Yeah, and that game's over in Ireland. That's going to be a fantastic experience. ESD playing
in Ireland?
Yep, that game, to my knowledge, is being played. You know, Notre Dame usually plays in Ireland. I want to say
get your passports,
yeah.
Eh?
Yeah,
there we go.
could have been a preseason retreat for us.
would be epic.
It would be epic.
But even ESD is going to turn around, play Prestonwood, play All Saints, play Second Baptist. You're going to see a lot of fun non-conference games, and then when we get into the conference gauntlet, that's going to be awesome too. I think that, you know, Kincaid Episcopal with St. John's right there because of Cole Allen, that's going to be fun atop SBC 4A. ESD is, I think, could make waves as well. And then I think in 3A, Houston Christian, you know, I think we'll get it done this year. 4A, you know, anything can happen. I know we put Kincaid one, but I think that that's, you know, a very tight two-horse race with St. John's potentially able to play spoiler. They've done it before to Episcopal in the regular season. And then I think that Houston Christian's is gonna get theirs. There are a ton of fun prospects to watch. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's about the kids. It's about those guys that are competing for Division One offers. And not just Division One, but Division Two, Division Three, you know, to a lesser extent, NAIA or JUCO, about those. And then, you know, those kids getting tremendous educations in SPC and using that to become, you know, successful men, successful citizens, people that, you know, are going to make the world a better place. So I think that it's going to be a great year. You know, I'm excited for year three, or maybe more aptly year two and a half, since I started midway through 2022. And, you know, look out for me on Friday nights, look out for our content on the TXPS website. And look out for me on some future episodes. Can't promise that I'll be there, every week, but I imagine you'll see my face a couple more times, maybe in some of those rivalry weeks, and certainly before the SPC playoffs. So looking forward to seeing you guys, and looking forward to helping the team out, you know, in any way that I can throughout this fall.
Absolutely. And I'll end by saying this, barring any additional comments. The way that we brought Jack on is that Jack basically, I think, slid up one of our stories asking about, like, playoff structures in the SBC, and gave, like, probably the most detailed analysis I'd ever seen of it. And, like, Walker and I, like, texted each other. We're like, this dude knows a lot about the SBC. And we responded back a couple times. We're like, should we just bring this guy on as like an analyst? And we're like, yeah. So all that to say, like, if you reach out to us or really anything in life and you know a lot about something and you shoot your shot more or less, which is how this podcast was started, do it. There is literally no downside, and it creates incredible opportunities. So it's just, don't ever feel like, oh, maybe I shouldn't send that. Go ahead, do it. It can lead to some pretty cool stuff. So I'll end it there. All that being said, as always, I've been myself, Wes Tollison. I'm joined by three fantastic contributors, being Jack Klosek, Ryan Schroeder, and Walker Lott. We will see you in the next episode, which will be the week one preview. See you later.